Hello, everyone. I have two interesting stories, favorites of mine, and I hope you'll enjoy them. I'll have the first story for you after a few refreshing Atlas Prager words from our friend. Whenever scientists come across some wondrous mystery that they can't explain, they call it a type of phenomenon. There are lots of them, all documented, all fact. And the most bizarre of them all are the psychic phenomena, the incredible communications between the living and the dead that have created such amazing happenings as the story I'm going to tell you now. A clanging trolley car on a Sunday morning in New York in the year 1905. Among the passengers is a quiet-looking man, a stern, respectable citizen. Certainly the last man you'd pick as a person about to embark on a dazzling psychic adventure. His name is Frederick Lewis Thompson. Observe the rolled-up umbrella which he carries, though the skies are clear. A conservative fellow, a goldsmith off on a simple Sunday outing, a visit to the American art galleries. Not that Thompson has any particular interest in art. It's merely that this is the proper thing for a gentleman to do of a Sunday morning. Yes, it's in such a mood that Frederick Lewis Thompson strolls through the halls of the American Art Gallery. Now, though, he stops. He's looking at one lovely painting, a landscape, a gentle rolling scene done with colors that are subdued and yet exultant with the glory of a spring field. Thompson glances at the name of the artist, Robert Swain Gifford, one of America's greatest landscape artists. Thompson gazes in quiet admiration for a few more minutes and then starts to walk away. He's only gone a few feet, though, when a sad and silken hush seems to settle over the room, and a voice is calling, "Thompson, Mr. Thompson." He looks around, though he knows well that no one's there. For this is no mortal voice. It's a voice traveling from some tomb deep inside the earth. A voice that comes from a veil of shadows and the torments of unfulfillment. And here it is again.
"Thompson, it's I, Robert Swain Gifford, the artist of the picture you've just admired. You like that picture, Thompson? There should be more of such pictures. I cannot do any more. You, Thompson, must carry on for me."
Now the voice fades away. And Thompson, that proper, practical gentleman, fights for reason, for some way to forget the past few seconds. And he tells himself, "That rabbit I had last night, it must have upset me or something. This is ridiculous. Besides, Gifford isn't even dead. He's somewhere in France, painting away merrily." Just then, a museum guide leads a group of people into the room. "And over here, ladies and gentlemen, a fine example of the work of Robert Swain Gifford, whose untimely death in France was reported to us just yesterday." Thompson rushes out into the street. What does all this mean? What sort of caprice of the gods is this? Why would Gifford want a simple goldsmith who's never painted in his life to take over his life's work? Nah, it's all too ridiculous, but it happened. And as he walks through a park, trying to clear his head, it happens again.
"Thompson, yes, it's true. I'm dead. And I've chosen you, Thompson. So paint, man.
The next day, and this had never happened before, Thompson didn't go to work. Instead, he went up to Columbia University and consulted a professor who had spent years in psychical research. The professor listened and then said, "Well, Thompson, you must simply try to paint, even though you've never painted in your life. Start painting tomorrow and let's see what happens." Thus, the very next morning, Thompson rented the studio. Now he's in the studio, looking at a blank canvas.
A panic comes over him. Where does one begin? He starts to run out of the studio, but again that voice comes.
Thompson, this is the last time I shall come to you. It will not be necessary after this. Just paint Thompson, and all will come to you. So now, farewell.
Thompson wheels around and shouts into the empty air. Don't go! Don't leave me! You got me into this! Show me what to do! No answer. Just a rippling of the curtain in the window. He sighs and picks up a brush, and he begins to paint. Yes, just like that he begins to paint. He doesn't know where the ideas come from, why he uses a certain color here, certain stroke there. He just paints. And in a few short weeks, a beautiful painting rests on his easel. A painting which looks exactly like something the dead Robert Swain Gifford might have done. 6 months later, Thompson has his first exhibition. The art critics come and rush home to write their reviews. Amazing! Almost a reincarnation of Gifford. Here is a real disciple of the late lamented Gifford. Every last detail is there. The art world can be happy that the spirit of Gifford is not dead. Yes, wonderful reviews. And Frederick Lewis Thompson becomes a ranking artist, a much sought-after guest at the smartest dinner parties. For a while, this new life entrances him. There comes a time, though, when Thompson gets restless under the yoke of Gifford's influence. He's weary of being hailed as Gifford's disciple and great imitator, and he wants to strike out for himself, to do something on his own in a field untouched by Gifford. One night, sitting alone in his studio, he says to himself, a portrait. That's what I'll do. Gifford painted only a few of them. I shall go far into the past, to the 16th century, and I'll paint a Madonna. This time, the critics will have to recognize me as an original talent. Then he again seems to feel a rustling in the room, a presence, and faintly he hears... a laugh? Or maybe it's only the ghost of a laugh, curling through the grim barriers of space and time, curling up from the grave. In a second, the sound is gone. Thompson shrugs, probably his imagination, and he goes to bed with his head full of plans for the Madonna. As with everything else he's painted, the Madonna goes well. A magic seems to guide Thompson's fingers, and soon the portrait is done. Thompson is certain that this is like nothing Gifford ever did. To make sure, he calls on the dead artist's widow, shows her the portrait, and says, Mrs. Gifford, am I right? Isn't this something your husband never painted? The widow looks at it a long time, touches the canvas lovingly. Yes, Mr. Thompson, you're right. This is something my husband never painted, but it's something he always wanted to paint. You see, this Madonna is an exact likeness of his own mother. And there it is, out of the storybook of life.